Let's do the Monday Moan with David Downey. Morning, David.
Morning, Steve.
You've got a massive on-air apology to make to Wayne Rooney.
Why? I haven't got an apology to make to anybody.
Come on, bow down to all those people who said that he'd work.
I mean, a bit of humble pie. I'll admit that. But, you know, it's one game. Let's see how he does.
A bit of humble pie.
Over 10. Yeah, because all I said was I wouldn't have started him. That's not writing the lad off. I just would have opted for something a bit different.
Yeah. No. Your pre-match tweet was quite negative, wasn't it?
What? So they're reinforcing my stance that Wayne Rooney shouldn't start this game?
That's well, crazy. You're a serial moaner.
I tell you what, for 44 minutes, I think I was vindicated, to be honest, because it was quite poor.
But that wasn't down to him, was it? No, that was the structure of the team.
Oh, yeah, it was awful. I mean, the outlet from the back was just lumping forward to Calvert-Lewin on the right-hand side, who's not a right winger or a right wing-back by any stretch of the imagination. And I counted at least half a dozen times when that was the ball that they reverted to. It was either that or pass along the back line, three of them, and it was really, really tedious. And then that goal sort of sparked them into life, and then in the second half, this is where I will apologise, Rooney absolutely ran the show. I mentioned to you last week about, I think Everton will struggle to find a position for him and shouldn't accommodate him by any means necessary to get him in the side just because he's Wayne Rooney. But in this game, he found a role that I think could bear fruit for him all season long. He put Calvert-Lewin back in the centre. And then Rooney played this. I've debated this over the weekend, actually, what the position was that he played, because it was, you'd say it was a traditional number 10 role, but it was further towards the right than that. So he was linking up with Cuco Martinez, who come on, who I thought had a really good game as well. He's been one of the boo boys so far. And he's quite clearly not the most talented of players, but he'll do a job for you. And he put a couple of great crosses in the second half, which we nearly score from. And Rooney would just dictate a play from a slightly deeper role that was towards the right-hand side. And Koeman's substitutions were right as well. He took David Klaassen on, who didn't have the greatest of days. He was probably our worst player on the day. It was a sort of welcome to the Premier League performance. That's what I put in my player ratings today. And, yeah, he put Davis on for him, which, you know, probably the right time to do so. Gave Klaassen the first 10, 15 minutes of the second half and then made the change. Davis was great when he come on. And all of a sudden, everything started knitting together and started clicking. Probably should have won. Probably should have scored another goal. Calvert-Lewin, have you seen the difference in him, Steve? I don't know if you've seen much of the game, but complete. He was changed man when he's put in a central role. He was hunting things down. He was being a general pest. Whilst I don't think he's going to be a prolific goal scorer, I think he's got a really important job in this side, and he harries defenders, and that's how he created the chance for himself, which he sort of spared. He could have passed it to Rooney. But that's the mark of putting a player in a position that he plays. I think it's relatively simple. Yet, Koeman, I mean, I think he admitted in his post-match comments, I haven't heard them yet, that he made a mistake in starting the team in the way in which he did. But it also highlights as well, there's a lot of options at his disposal, and the pressure's on him to get that right from the start.
I've just clicked on the player ratings on the Blue Room EFC.
Yeah.
It's asked me for
£3.99.
I haven't got that sort of money on me.
It hasn't asked you for
£3. Honestly, I can't get through to the player ratings.
You're a bad
Are
man.
Are they that expensive?
You're a bad man. Well,
can't take me through them because I can't find them on
I
the
put,
site.
I put a lot. Look, yeah, look. Scroll down.
Are they down here? Are they free?
Go up. You missed them.
Here we go.
There.
Yeah,
that big thing that says player ratings and then go down. And there they are.
Oh, here they are. Right, let's read through them.
Completely free. Don't listen to this.
You can read Dave Downey's analysis for free. Here we go. Jordan Pickford, you love him. What we've needed for years. A goalkeeper with confidence. Here we go. Dominic Calvert-Lewin. He got a 7 today, as did Jordan Pickford. Michael Keane, imperious in the air. When Stoke began their battering ram tactics, are Stoke really still that same old Stoke?
They revert to it. I think they try something a little bit different because they had Shaqiri and Bojan in the wide areas, right and left of Berahino, which obviously that you'd think, yeah, it should relatively keep it on the deck for most of the game. But as soon as they put Crouch on and the lad from Schalke, who were big lads, everything was like Joe Allen. Diagonal, Peter Crouch.
You've got to love Peter Crouch, so he is brilliant. He is great.
He's 36 now, mate.
He's got a place in our hearts. Jags, he got a 6. Defending wasn't an issue, but reckless punting was. Mm. Oh, Ashley Williams, he got a 5. A typical thought used to be he was much better in a defensive 3. Not on today's performance. Mm. Is that the lowest of the scores? The 5? Oh, no, Morgan Schneiderlin. He came in with a 5 as well. Still doesn't look his usual self. Leighton Baines got a 6. You don't score very highly, do you?
Look at the others.
All right. Idrissa Gueye got an 8.
Yeah.
So he's picking up where he was last season. Mm. Yeah?
Yeah, I thought he was brilliant. He was my man of the match, but obviously a lot of people have gone for Rooney.
David Klaassen gets a 4. So the adjustment from the Dutch league to the Premier League is quite a significant one.
I think it is, but you're not going to come up against such a physical test in Stoke. That doesn't mean to say I'm writing him off like a lot of Blues are, but it was a wake-up call and a welcome to the Premier League performance, like I've said there.
Right. Sandro Ramirez, 6, infectious enthusiasm. And Wayne Rooney got an 8. Mm. Surely you could have given him a 9.
Well, I was trying to look at it with a balanced reflection, given how poor the first half was, because it was quite ragged. And the goal did change everything. The perfect time to score in a game. It was a wonderful moment, one that I'll never forget. I was there for his first one with the Park End, and I was there for his first one again this time. So, I mean, there was a lot of emotion, which is why I sound a little bit croaky today. But second half, we started getting things together, and there's a lot to be excited about after that second half.
The Wayne Rooney merchandise will be flying out, won't it?
I believe
heading into the ground, was it full of T-shirts with Wayne's name? And
yeah, it's all over the place, and he's all over the place as well. I think he stops and signs everybody who wants an autograph. Mm. Everyone wants a piece of him. And it's really nice to see, you know. But that's the side of it that I want to sort of forget, Steve. I want to see some substance now, and we got it. And fair play to him. It was the perfect debut, wasn't it? He scored the winner. Fantastic header. Man of the match performance by most people. So, yeah, perfect debut, really.
Right, let's have a look at the Premier League as a whole. Team of the weekend for you. We can't include Everton in any of these. So, team of the weekend. Man United?
Well,
Huddersfield.
They're only playing West Ham. Huddersfield performance was really, really good.
And they're only playing Palace.
But the lad they've got up front, Meunier, looks like a real find. Who else did I watch? Arsenal-Leicester was a great game, wasn't it? Did you watch the highlights?
Well, I didn't see the highlights because, of course, we were out at Haydock on Friday night, so I missed that one. I mean, the Liverpool game was a great game. It left everyone very flat.
You've got to say Burnley.
Oh, Burnley, Chelsea,
And you know what? That Stephen Ward's goal just hasn't got enough coverage. Did you see it, the second one, where they played the short free kick. He knocks it to his mate in midfield and he plays a lovely ball to his chest on the edge of the box. He comes inside and the finish is sublime from a left back who's relatively known as an average player at best, and he's pulled that off. And Sam Vokes as well shows you everything about the target man that you need to know in the Premier League, doesn't it? And they nearly threw it away because Morata probably should make it 3-3 in the last kick of the game. But what a start to a season for Burnley. I mean,
you can't quite understand why Chelsea have let players go. Players like Matic. It doesn't seem to make any obvious sense, does it?
Not unless they thought that there were going to be replacements. And it shows you how you probably shouldn't do business because they're normally exceptional in the transfer market. But letting players go before you've got the other ones in is a massive risk because things can happen. And they've missed that. They missed out on Lukaku. Obviously, they got Morata in, but he wasn't first choice. The Matic one, I think, is a real bone of contention for Antonio Conte because, by all accounts, he was irate that he went to a rival. He didn't mind selling him or moving him on as long as it wasn't to a rival or, you know, another Premier League club. And he preferably wanted him to go abroad. And that didn't happen. He's at Man United now, who were in direct competition with them, and they haven't replaced him with anybody. And they've got the lad who, the only one of the new signings to play was Morata and was it Rudiger as well?
Yeah, Rudiger started, yeah.
He played. And I tell you, you look good, Steve. They've put him out on loan to Stoke, Kurt Zouma. Mm. He's a real presence at the back, and he's a big boy as well. So, yeah, it's a bit of a strange start for Chelsea, but...
But they had a strange start last season. I'm a little bit at odds with everyone else over this Gary Cahill sending off. I thought he was really unlucky, and I looked at it again. I know he didn't sort of argue against it, but come on, what's football coming to? I don't think he's a dirty player, and he didn't look like he was going in there to take the player's legs out. All right, his studs were showing a bit, but he missed the player. And, you know, I think if he got a yellow card for that, he'd have quite happily just held his hands up. Mm. He's not the sort who'd argue with the referee, and that's why he didn't make an issue of it, but it wasn't a red for me.
Well, this is where there's issues with how officials officiate games now, because that referee's clearly under pressure to make that decision, because by the letter of the law, that is a sending off. What he did, went over the top of the ball, studs up, could have seriously injured the player. I completely agree with you. A yellow would have been suffice. the referee probably, all his natural instincts, wanted to give him a yellow card. But you forget there's somebody in the stand marking the referee if he doesn't give a red by the letter of the law. So therefore, the common denominator there is that the law needs to be looked at. So I understand protecting players, but you're absolutely right. You know, you can't referee in
con. It didn't look like a red card. I think you can feel when it should be a red card. It didn't have any of that sort of malice around it.
No, and I think common sense needs to prevail in those situations. I think a better referee, I think that one was Mike Jones, wasn't it? He got Fabregas absolutely right, by the way. And I applaud him for that, because there would have been a lot of pressure on him. The crowd would have been all over him after that early sending off of Cahill's. I mean, he stuck to his guns there, and he could have bottled that one after Fabregas applauds, which is an automatic yellow card.
Yeah, that's his own fault. If you're stupid enough to clap at the referee.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the basic rules.
But the second one was definitely a yellow as well, I thought. That was quite a dangerous tackle, I thought, Steve, because it was his standing leg that he sort of goes through with his stud sort of, you know, parallel to the ground. I thought that was a sending off. But, yeah, I mean, these things need looking at, because you're on the verge of saying no contact at some points, aren't you? Because he didn't. He's been sent off for the intention and what the interpretation of the law is by the people who make the laws. So I think we need to look at things like that. It reminded me of, obviously not as obvious, but Jack Rodwell won in the Merseyside Derby that time. Do you know, he got sent off about 20 minutes in for the tackle on Suarez. And obviously opposition players don't help in circumstances like that, but I was only laughing then thinking of the John Joe Shelby one yesterday.
Well, fool of the weekend.
Unbelievable.
What an absolute... A guy with so
captain
much promise and actually ability. And Rafa doesn't hand out that sort of honour lightly as well. So there's obviously a fair degree of expectation placed on his shoulders. But to do what he did, come on.
Yeah, he had the sour grapes out after the game, though, didn't he? Because he was saying... yeah, okay, I accept Shelby's was a sending off, which we're looking at now, but he said Harry Kane should have been sent off as well for his tackle on the defender. I mean, that wasn't a sending off. Firstly, he got the ball. It was a foul because he took the man as well. Mm. But Rafa's saying that because he made the scissor-like motion, you know, and trapped his legs around the player. I think it's a yellow card. But, I mean, again, he's got a case to say, conversely, that the letter of the law should state that perhaps should be looked at as a sending off because both feet are off the floor. You know, he's not got control of his body as he's trying to attempt to win the ball. So by the letter of the law, he's got a point. So I think, you know, we need to have a look at these issues, don't we, in the officiating game.
I remember when John Joe Shelby was at Liverpool, the number of people who were sort of touting him as Steven Gerrard's sort of successor long term, because, you know, he's quick, his skills unbelievable, his long range passing's amazing as well. He's got all those facets that make him a damn good player. But he's stupid. He's just daft in the head, isn't he?
I think he lacks interest, Steve. I think he lacks interest and commitment to being a football player. I think it's half-hearted. I think, you know, when you've got talent like that, there's been players like that down. I remember the lad Tarapt at QPR. Oh, ridiculously good talent. You remember some of the things he'd do with the football? And you're like, why isn't this lad world-class? And his attitude just stunk because he just saw football as a bit of a pastime, just having a bit of a laugh. And that there, with the responsibility of the captain's armband on him as well, Steve, he should know a lot better. And what is he now? He's not a kid anymore, is he, Shelby? He's got 25, 26. He should know a lot better than that. And I believe he apologised after the game, but for something so innocuous that... I mean, Ali didn't actually make that much of it either, but it was right in front of the referee. Ridiculous.
Right, goal of the weekend was Sadio Mane's goal. The build-up to that one was absolutely fabulous.
Behave yourself, Steve.
Liverpool's first. And the greatest injustice of the weekend was the final goal, the Britos goal.
I was waiting for this.
As Watford secured an undeserved equaliser at the end of the day.
The greatest injustice...
What happened to Simon Mignolet's hand at that point in time?
The greatest injustice was the Liverpool fans who went down there and were robbed by inept defending. I mean, there's some serious issues.
Carra's nailed this. It's not just one player that's going to change this. It's a whole systematic look at what Liverpool do, what's ingrained in them as defenders, as a five unit at the back, or even with maybe a midfielder involved. At the moment, I'm not sure they know.
I did like his tiff with Redknapp. It was good fun to watch, wasn't it? There wasn't anyone winner there, was there?
You don't like Redknapp.
I think he's awful,
Steve. But I quite like what he throws up just in terms of offering an argument. And he never agrees with Carragher, which is a good thing.
He just makes noise and looks good.
He looks good, doesn't he?
Yeah. But that's what's got him the job, isn't it?
But Carragher always just swipes him to one side, doesn't he?
Just rips him apart, and rightly so as well. I mean, I don't think he's got a clue, but Carragher was on the money there. Not one. It was a really silly argument when you look at what he was saying, because Carragher was saying, well, one man doesn't make the difference, and Redknapp was saying, well, if you have Van Dijk marking him instead of Firmino, and Carragher was like, well, no, because Van Dijk would have the place of Lovren or Matip in the side, yeah. And Firmino would probably still be on Okaka, who ended up scoring, but to put your centre-forward on a big, I mean, he dominated the game, didn't he, in the early throws. Mm. Big, big man. And Liverpool just couldn't live with him. And there's serious problems there. It was interesting, Klopp's comment about Coutinho after the game as well.
What was the exact comment? I tried to hunt this down. I couldn't see.
He said that it's not down to him what players stay or leave at the club. It's made by the people above him.
Do you think there's a shifting of the guard there?
I think there's a shift in responsibility, and probably rightly so, because if it was up to Klopp, Coutinho would be going nowhere. But, you know, we hear these whispers now that FSG are open to selling Coutinho for the right price. I mean, it'll be astronomical, the money that they end up getting for him, and I think it'll be sped up by what happened in Barcelona last night with the Clásico. Did you see any of that?
I saw a bit of Gerard Deulofeu weaving his magic on one of the biggest games in the
Can't wait to get Sharpie's view on that tonight, by the way. But what two goals we saw there.
Yeah.
And that lad Asensio, I mean, it says it all when Ronaldo can't get in your first 11, doesn't it? And the lad Asensio, what a goal that was at the end. Bullet of a left foot and Ronaldo's goal himself. And then he got sent off.
Right,
a body back. Like you, Steve, hasn't he, as well?
6:30 this evening. You'll find Sharpie and Aldo there to take all your moans on board and spit something back at you as well. Mm. Dave Downey will be in the background somewhere. I'll be officiating over the boys. The Radio City Legends is back for another season. The torment, the pain, the anguish is here.
You're looking forward to 10 months of this, Steve? No. 10 months.